Amen. You may be seated. Everybody take a deep breath. You have 3 days to go. We are closing in. I know, you are going to make it. I guarantee. I've been here 17 years. You will do it. Guaranteed. I've seen students come and go over the years. You'll make it. Okay, let's just have confession time. How many got papers due this week? All right. Hey, let's raise them high. How many got some exams this week? Bring it on. Presentations? Anybody? Yeah? Very good. How many got nothing this week? Oh, there are a few of you. Oh, no. Hey, our speaker today can relate to feeling kind of somewhat overwhelmed this morning. Father Charlie from St. Francis de Sales Parish did 4 worship services that he led yesterday. So he's doing his 5th service under 24 hours today. He says, bring it on. He can outdo any of you guys. No, he didn't say that. But he does know, as we're saying today, how do you get through things like this? And I think our scripture last night at the gathering was so appropriate, wasn't it? We can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. That's how we get through times like this. So, but with this morning, we are so pleased to have Father Charlie Brown, who is from St. Francis de Sales Parish. It's a parish that's in walking distance, isn't it,
that's
Charlie?
Right.
I mean, right on, what's the corner?
13th and Maple.
13th and Maple. There are 4 worship services there a week. Tell us a little about the time, so if anybody's interested in attending.
Right, you're all invited. Our doors are wide open. We have a Saturday evening service, afternoon service rather, at 5 p.m., and that's mostly English. It's a little bit Spanish. And then on Sunday morning, 8:30 and 10:30 are in English, and the 12:30 is in Spanish.
So if any of you guys are interested in attending, the doors are wide open. Interesting, I was asking Father Charlie, the number of families, 1,200 families are in the parish. Over 2,000 people go through the doors every week in worship. About 1,000 in the English-speaking services, and
correct,
about 1,000 in the Spanish-speaking services. So if you'd ever want to attend,
you're welcome.
You are welcome. Yes. Hey, let me pray for Father Charlie, and then you can welcome him this morning. Lord, we bless you that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God, we lean on that today. Increase our faith as you will give us what we need to make it through today and tomorrow and Wednesday and through the rest of this semester. We bless you for our good friend, Charlie Brown, who has been such a partner in the gospel ministry in this community and here at Hope College. And now, Lord, we thank you for the good word that you've given to him to speak to us here this morning. We thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you welcome Father Charlie Brown?
Thank you. Well, usually I'm invited here to come and preach with you at Ash Wednesday, the day that we begin the season of Lent and that time that none of us really look forward to when we're involved in some of the penance and the practices. So on that note, I want to talk about something really uplifting like death. I'm going to do it. Nobody's going to die. Remember what Paul said? We 17 years, everybody makes it. I'd just like to start to that point, just to find, where do we find hope in the midst of despair? And it struck me over the weekend, before I had all these services, that I was called out on Friday morning to a death. A gentleman died. He wasn't 70 yet, but had a sudden death at home, and the police called me, and I spent some time in my feeble attempts to console the family. What do I do? What do I say at that time? Obviously, turning to God in prayer was able to do. Later on that afternoon, visiting a woman that I know very well that has sung in her choir, been very involved in our parish, and she was dying as well. And not being able to be with her when she died yesterday morning, I was at the at masses. But I start on that note because even though I've been an ordained priest for 17 years, it seems like now, where do I find those words of consolation? It seems more difficult than ever. Maybe I'm not so wise anymore. Maybe I'm wiser. I don't know. Maybe those little things that we say to give one another hope don't always work. And I think that's maybe what I'm realizing is that hope that comes to us from our scriptures, hope that comes to us in Jesus Christ, is more than just a positive attitude. I learned this recently by a very dear friend of mine. I went to visit him. He's a priest in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he was in charge of my formation when I was studying in the seminary for 4 years. During that time, he really supported me. I don't think I'd be here today if it wasn't for Fernando. Well, he has this condition now that is debilitating. He's only 64. He's been retired for 5 years. He's got this condition where it's like the chemical imbalance in the brain, this chronic fatigue. I mean, it's probably hard for you all to get up this morning, try and get out of bed, doing everything you can just to find that energy, hoping that alarm clock would turn off. But he has it every day of his life, just to be able to get out of bed and function, every ounce of energy. And I mean, maybe the most he could do on any given day is to celebrate one service. So he's there in a parish trying to help the pastor out there. But he hasn't given up hope. And hope is more, again, more than just say, well, things are going to get better. For him, it's not. It's chronic. It's going to get worse. But yet, how did he find hope? He found it in two directions, two different ways, looking within and looking out. Looking within to find Christ. Let's turn to scripture real quick and because this also applies to us. Oh, I want the second one here. And this one comes from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians in the 4th chapter. And what he speaks about is looking within, realizing when we need hope, it's that indwelling Christ in us. And he says this, but we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God. It does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. What does that say to us? I mean, we don't have to talk out literally about death, but in order to find that wonderful treasure that God has given to us, that presence of his spirit, that presence of his love, what that means is maybe a little bit of our own death. Dying to those things that we hold on to that are not necessary. Sometimes those things that disappoint us, when we fail, when things do not go our way, when we feel overwhelmed, all those things we need to let go of, and that's maybe a little bit of a death. Fernando taught me that. He just says, you know, I got to change my hopes, my expectations. I can't hold on to all those things I used to do and want to do and held so important. He had to let go of those. And then when he was able over time, little by little, to let go of that, he was able to discover more fully that God hasn't abandoned him. God loves him. God's there to strengthen him. That he has so much to offer, and probably because of his condition, he can offer more. He can be present with others that are also struggling with moments of despair, moments of doubt, confusion. But the other place that St. Paul tells us we need to look is to look beyond. This is what St. Paul says in the 8th chapter of Romans. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed in us. And then a little later, he says, for hope we were saved. Now hope is seen and not what is seen, but we hope for what we do not see. We wait for it with patience. Hope. And that's what we're called to do, to look beyond to that presence of Christ that calls us beyond. So whether it's somebody that's actually dealing with the loss of a loved one, We need to see beyond. Or again, if it's the things that we feel that overwhelm us. When we don't feel there's enough of us, that this is too much that people are asking of us. What do? We look beyond. We go and we persevere. We take one step at a time. And we can do that because it is God that is truly strong within us. You know, I know about a year ago, there was a lot of strife going on in my parish. I won't get into all of that. But there was a lot of misunderstandings, and some of it was, you know, even though I'm pretty fluent in Spanish, there's the cultural issues, things that, you know, people relate differently. You know, you say things differently. There's expectations that are different. And I keep learning that, and it's a wonderful thing to learn. You know, I can't expect everybody to, whatever culture or background they're from, is to think and react the way I do, huh? Well, I learned that the hard way, and so there's a lot of strife going in the parish. And I said, how am I going to get through this? You know, am I just an absolute failure? You know, is the bishop going to have to move me to another parish, whatever? But through it all, what I found is that, where do I place my hope? Where do I place my foundation? Maybe it's not me and all of the so-called abilities and talents that I thought I had that could get me through all of this, but it had to be based on Christ. Only in Christ, who is my rock, my salvation. And there we can stand firm. So whether it's this week, just getting through all that you're asked to do, and again, sometimes it seems impossible, whether it's from sometimes the hurts that others have laid upon us, misunderstandings that happen, the difficulties that we have to forgive, the things that you know, when we need to make decisions that, you know, it's not the easiest thing to do, but yet it's the right thing to do. How do we find that strength? We look within to that presence of Christ, who is solid within us, who gives us what we need. And also we look beyond, where God is calling us to. That there is more than just today, this current moment, that God has a plan. And it's a wonderful plan for you, for all of us. And so maybe just to sum this up, I'd like to just to quote an author about hope. It's an anonymous quote, but yet, very well, I think it might bring it down to earth a little bit more. And how does hope work? How does hope work in our lives? How do we make those decisions for hope? Obviously, yes, we turn to Jesus. But as we turn to Jesus, we surrender to our own plans, to accept the plans of God. This is how we put it into action. Hope works in these ways. It looks for the good in people instead of harping on the worst. Hope discovers what can be done instead of grumbling about what cannot. Hope regards problems, large or small, as opportunities. Hope pushes ahead when it would be easy to quit. Hope lights the candle instead of cursing the darkness. And so, my friends, as we go forth from this service, this celebration of God's love, God's presence that is with us, it's God that strengthened us. God strengthened us in that hope. But let us put that into action. Let us do so by looking at that presence of God in others, to look at the problems we have as opportunities. And if there's any darkness at all in our life, that is an opportunity for the light of Christ to shine through. And so let us pray. And Lord Jesus, we thank you once again for this opportunity to gather in your name. We celebrate that you are our Lord, our King. You reign over our lives. You reign over the world. May we continue to be people of faith and hope, that we may see your presence in every moment of our day. And may all of our choices reflect your peace, your love. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We'll go in peace and have a great Thanksgiving.